Two formerly powerful organized crime families in New York have been seriously crippled thanks to some good old-fashioned sleuthing at the FBI. Some snitching from one of the crime bosses helped, too. For his work on taking down the operations, Seamus McInerney is a finalist for Homeland Security and Law Enforcement Medal in this year's Service to America Awards. He is Supervisory Special Agent with the FBI in New York City, and he joins us on the line now. And Special Agent McInerney, thanks so much for doing this, and congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So the SAMI nomination for which you are cited involves your work against two of the five New York crime families, the Colombo and the Bonanno families. Can you give us a little background on those two organizations, you know, as they were at the beginning of the investigation, and why they in particular were a priority for the Bureau?
Okay. Basically, regarding the Colombo family, our initial arrest was back in June of 2008. Since June of 2008 into the present day, we've arrested over 120 people. At the time that we started our investigation, the Colombos had been untouched for about 8 or 9 years. So it was a very significant investigation on our part. In total, what we've done is, regarding the Colombo family, we have dismantled them. Out of the 120 people we've arrested, I would say about 116 have been convicted now, and the remaining four are facing trial later this year. One of the most important days that we had was back in January of 2011 when the C-38 team led the largest mafia takedown in the Bureau's history. On that day, we had about 127 defendants arrested, and our team was responsible for 60 of those arrests along with five search warrants that were executed that day.
That 2011, that January 2011 operation, I mean, what led to just the sheer scale of that? Was there a big break in the case at some point, or was it just the result of a huge amount of dedicated resources over a long period?
One of the most interesting things that we were able to do was convince people to cooperate. From the Colombo side, over the course of that time frame, we had actually four captains, two soldiers, and four high-level associates cooperate. What was interesting to us was we were able to get many of these individuals to proactively cooperate. And when I say that, they were actually making consensual recordings for us, and that's the best piece of evidence to have in court. During that time frame, those witnesses accounted for over 2,000 consensual recordings. As time went by and we decided to take down the case, as I cited there before, our squad alone was responsible for 60 of those arrests. We decided to make a real impact on the mob, and we coordinated with other officers to see what investigations they had ongoing at that particular time to try to coordinate a single effort, which we did back in January 2011.
And for those of us whose knowledge of organized crime comes primarily from TV and movies, you know, it seems astounding to have cooperation from inside the families. Is it astounding in reality, or how unprecedented was this to have that kind of inside cooperation?
The thing that actually helped us a lot, and this is going back to 1972, but it was actually crafted back in the 80s where we utilized it to our best advantage, was the RICO law. And I think when individuals are facing a lifetime of crime behind bars, then they actually do decide to cooperate, and at the end they choose their real family as opposed to their mob family.
Mm. And, you know, once organizations like these have their leadership structures disrupted or incapacitated, I mean, is it just a matter of time until new people fill those roles? Once they're fragmented like this, are there effective law enforcement strategies, you know, for keeping them that way?
Well, I think we had a tremendous run in the sense is we were, for the first time that I've saw, we were ahead of them. So every time that they would fill the position, we were actually having people out there to monitor who was the next form of leadership that was coming up. We were able to attack the base. During since 2008 to the present, we've actually convicted five bosses, three Colombo and two Bonanno bosses. So we, you know, it was a unique time for us where we actually had proactive witnesses out there. And as they were filling the positions, which we were voting for them, we were still on top of them. So it was a very important time for us.
So fair to say that this operation didn't start and then end at a certain period in time. It kind of was an ongoing thing.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, in addition to the five bosses that we have convicted, I know that during that time frame, we've had five successful trials. We've solved more than 15 murders, including the 1997 murder of a New York police officer. In addition to that, during that time frame, we've had three bodies recovered, the most recently being in June of this year.
And, you know, I think a lot of people consider organized crime, mafia-style organizations as a historical problem rather than a modern-day issue. And notwithstanding all the work that you've done against these two particular organizations, you know, how would you characterize the influence of organized crime in New York or even nationally in 2013?
Well, I think, you know, people, the way organized crime was effective is that it was low-key, and the older members would basically be as discreet as possible. During the 90s, when you had John Gotti, he was a very flamboyant person and kind of exposed the mob. The mob is never going to go away. It's like a tree. It's just going to keep on growing. You cut off the head and someone's going to come back in because they want to rise to fame there. So I don't think we're ever going to get rid of the mob. I think lately it's just more they're going back to their old ways of trying to be discreet.
You said earlier that the Columbos in particular had been untouched for 8 or 9 years leading up to either that, I'm not sure if it was the 2008 or 2011 date, but was there a particular reason for that? Was it that organized crime was less of a focus for the FBI in that post 9/11 period, or were you just waiting for a break?
I think we were just waiting for a break. You know, they as I said before, they were becoming more discreet, and it's building an informant base and trying to get intelligence on the actual family. And then, as I said, back in 2008, we started to really have a spiral effect of cooperation where we were starting to have MAID members actually make consensual recordings for us, which really helped us in a big way.
All right. Seamus McElerney, Supervisory Special Agent with the FBI in New York City. Once again, congrats on the SAMMY nomination, and thanks so much for talking with us today.
All right, sir. Thanks again.